All right, we are taking questions on I Love Puppies. Had a big demonstration last night. Went pretty well, I think. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think this whole I Love Puppies phenomenon is dangerous.
I'm sorry, Mark, what do you mean by dangerous? It's I Love Puppies.
Yeah, well, just make it about puppies and I'm all on board.
Well, I think the name is fairly clear. I Love Puppies. So I'm not quite sure what you're not getting from this, Mark, but I think those are three words and they mean what they mean. I love puppies. Mark, are you telling me you don't love puppies?
No, I do love puppies. That's not what I'm saying. I stand for the I Love Puppy movement, but the I Love Puppy organization, there's some problematic things. Do you see what they say about cats, that cats shouldn't be treated as fairly as dogs?
Mark, I love puppies. All right. I see puppies and my heart melts. They're adorable. Are you telling me you don't love puppies? You have a problem with an organization dedicated to loving puppies?
Well, I don't. I love puppies. And I think it's important to have those organizations. But when they talk about socializing doggy daycare, that's just a step too far for me. I'm sorry.
Mark, looks like you did a hate speech. You know what that means?
I don't.
Well, Mark Dunscombe of 427 Edgeview Road in Durham, North Carolina.
Don't share that.
You are about to find out.
No.
I'm going to call Mark Dunscombe's boss at McDuff Advertising.
No.
And let him know that Mark hates puppies.
No, I'm not anti-puppies. No, that's the... No.
But first, questionable material with Jack and Brian.
Oh, God, no.
You're listening to Questionable Material, produced in New York by Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. QMPodcast.com.
Brian, I loved your article. Everyone who hasn't had a chance to read this, I want everyone to go to Medium, the website Medium, and Google Brian's article that he wrote. We discussed this on the podcast recently about his socialist wine bar in Brooklyn. And it's such a funny article. I hope everyone reads it and shares it. It's just so well written and so funny. And I think everyone's going to really enjoy it.
Thank you. It got picked up by some business publication on Medium.
Oh, that's awesome. What are the keywords for people to search for?
Brian's an idiot for investing in this stupid Brooklyn wine bar.
No, that's what comes up when your wife's search history. I want to tell people what
I could put it on the website, and I probably should have put it on the Questionable Material podcast website. That would have been a smart thing to do. Kind of an interconnected thing, like, oh yeah, we're doing this. Oh, we also have this other thing. Yeah, that would have been smart. So, you know, show notes is, we did it on, didn't we promote it on Twitter? I don't know.
Yeah, but still, I people listen to the podcast.
If you go to Medium and you search Brian Sack, then you're going to find that and a bunch of other stuff I've written over the years.
Well, I'll tell you what, but also put a link to it on QMPodcast.com.
Yes, I will.
Okay, so by the time this posts,
yeah,
people can go to QMPodcast.com and check out your amazing article. It's really funny.
You know, I wrote a thing for Medium years ago called How to Talk to Your Children About Elon Musk.
Okay, that's funny.
And they, Medium picked it up and put it on their like front page, and I actually made money off of it. I didn't know you could do that.
That's awesome. How much money are we talking?
$60 kajillion.
That seems like a lot.
It's so basically, it would be if every water molecule on Earth,
yep,
was as big as the sun.
Okay.
Then that's a kajillion.
Wow. That's a lot of dollar bills. That's
it sure is. Yeah, I don't.
That's even, like Tyler Perry money. I actually wanted to ask you about some other business opportunities you've had a chance to either make money or lose money on. Would you mind just going over a few things with me real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I know that you just opened up a bed and breakfast in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
I did.
So what is that looking like? When was opening day and how have, how's business been so far?
Well, we opened up a bed and breakfast recently. My wife and I had talked about doing that for a long time. We've both got that kind of hospitality vibe, except when you come visit and there's not enough steak, but, yes. we have that hospitality vibe. She's the cook. You know, I kind of like make sure everybody's having a good time. And we thought, why not open something? And, you know, we're in New York, but we thought, where, you know, could we get a better rent and maybe worse weather? And I thought, Wisconsin.
Sure. So, okay. So far, everything makes sense.
So we decided to put a lot of money into a bed and breakfast up there. And, you know, of course, one of the big challenges of a bed and breakfast is, you know, coming up with a name, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, you could do, you know, Shady Acres Bed and Breakfast or Sleepy Hollow Bed and Breakfast. Or, you know, anything like that, or Four Winds, you know, really kind of whimsical names. So we went like a different approach, and we named it after my great grandmother, Patricia Whitey, and we call it Whitey's Pride, and it's Whitey's Pride B&B.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an homage to my great grandmother.
Oh my gosh. Brian, that is so sweet. Yeah. How's business and reception been so far? When did you guys open?
We opened 2 weeks ago. And you know, it takes time to build a buzz. Mm-hmm. I guess we need to work on the exterior lighting.
Oh,
because a couple nights ago, somebody was trying to see, I guess, our B&B sign and they couldn't, it was dark. And so they threw like a soda bottle that was filled with gasoline and a rag at it to illuminate the sign to make sure, you know,
they're in the right place.
They're in the right place. And there it was Whitey's Pride B&B. And it said vacancy, but yet, you know, they saw that in the sign and it clearly didn't come in and ask for a room. So I'm not sure. Maybe they were shopping around. I got to do something about the Yelp. Because right now we have 1-star reviews and we have like 450 of them. And I, you know, we haven't even had customers yet.
No.
Yeah.
Any sense as to what that's about?
You know, a lot of accusatory statements in the reviews by these people who have never been there. They've never stayed one night at Whitey's Pride. And yet, you know, they're accusing me of all sorts of things. They don't know me.
But what sort of stuff are they accusing you of?
I guess they don't like the name. They find it offensive. They say it's racist. I don't know why. You know, maybe they're confusing me with another place because that happens sometimes.
What are some of the amenities that you guys are offering there?
We're kind of adapting as things go along. So right now we have what we call the presidential suite.
Oh, okay.
Which is really not a suite. It's just a room, but it's presidential in the sense that the window glass is 3 inches thick to prevent any kind of penetration by, say, bullets or explosives, things like that.
Jeez. Okay. Interesting features. And a lot of times bed and breakfast have features, you know, where it's like a cozy bedroom, you know, fresh linens.
Yeah.
You know, feels like home. And those are the types of things that, you know, people sort of think about when they hear a bed and breakfast. But it sounds like yours is more about mass public safety.
It's more about protecting the guests. Mm-hmm. We haven't had any yet, but we know when they come, they're not going to want to be pelted with garbage or shouted at or have firebombs thrown at them. I mean, that's not what you want on your vacation. You know, your day-to-day life, whatever. But when you go away, you're trying to forget your troubles. And so you don't need that. I mean, you know, the lines of people outside screaming and cursing at you as you try to enter or exit the place, they don't like that. So we're working our way to getting around it.
Another business opportunity that I know you've ventured into recently, which is a very modern thing and very impressed that you would do this, is that you've started your very own OnlyFans account.
I have. Yep.
Now, for people who don't know, this has actually been in the news a lot lately. Bella Thorne, the actress, and recently joined OnlyFans, where people tend to sort of post some more risque. It's sort of a chance for people to reach out to fans in an uncensored way. And there's a lot of adult content there where you can push the boundaries further that you can on typical social media. And Bella Thorne made $2 million within 24 hours of signing up to OnlyFans. So I was wondering if you could tell us about your OnlyFans account and what sort of features are there, and how much money you've made so far.
Well, I was inspired by Bella Thorne, and I don't even know who she is. Mm-hmm. But when I saw her outrageous success, I thought, well, anybody can do that.
Yeah.
So I launched my Brian OnlyFans. And, you know, I'm learning from the masters. I've been studying a lot of other people.
Good.
So, I took a bath. And I kind of sat in the bath and, you know, played around winking at the camera and doing all those things that you're supposed to do.
Wow, that sounds sexy.
Yeah. And then my wife comes in, she sprinkles rose petals and cinnamon and like in the air and it sparkles and stuff. And we do weird filters. I've done other stuff. Like I did the kind of I'm mowing my lawn now. Ask me anything. Uh-huh. And I'm kind of, you know, just videos of me like pushing the lawnmower around, you know, really getting sweaty. So I thought maybe I'd do like a movie of me installing some baseboards and toe molding.
Oh, okay. I can see how that's maybe sort of a sexy, rugged man type of, you'd get some fans would like that.
So I put on a Speedo.
Oh, okay.
And I took off my watch so they get the full arm. And I had my little Brad nail gun. So the air powered gun shoots Brads. And so I set it up, had the camera kind of, you know, on across the room, kind of me with my new baseboards and toe molding. And I'm kind of looking at the camera and setting up the baseboards and, you know, slowly just kind of nailing them in.
Yeah.
And I had the lighting set a little low. I had some candles around, to give it the kind of that romantic feel. 'Cause that's what the OnlyFans people want.
Yep.
And, you know, it turned into just a bit of a fiasco. Because it was dark enough. I'm not paying attention. I'm constantly looking at the camera because, you know, you need that eye contact with your fans.
Sure.
They want to see that because whatever they're doing when they're watching you, you know, they want to make eye contact with you like they're there. So I'm kind of looking at the camera. And next thing that I know, I put the damn nail gun right on my hand. I shoot a Brad right into it.
Oh.
And, you know, they're small and thin and I miss the bones. But I mean, it just started spraying blood. So like I start screaming. I lean on the wall to get up, leave a giant bloody handprint on my freshly painted wall. So now I'm furious. I kick out of anger. I kick the stack of baseboards I was about to install.
Sure.
Because I'm so mad. Well, one of the baseboards hits the candle.
That's what I was afraid of. Yeah, damn it.
Rolls over into the corner of the room. The cat will go after anything that's moving. So she comes into the room. She bolts up to the candle to try to attack it. Well, what happens when a cat comes in contact with a candle? Of course, she turns into like a ball of feline flames.
Uh-huh.
So now the cat's on fire. She's freaking out. I'm freaking out. I've got blood. I try to get her. I go to grab her and she's kind of aflame. But the good thing is that her flames cauterized the blood on my hand.
Oh, that's good news. Right.
So I take her and then I'm kind of rolling her on the floor because you know that stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
I modified it. I threw her down on the floor and then jumped on her and rolled. I pulled her up and she's now, but this point, you know, the hair's all crispy. Her whiskers are a mess. I don't know if those things grow back or what. And I'm feeling really bad about it, but she's feeling worse. So what does she do? She claws me.
Oh, what a jerk.
If you thought the blood from the stud going into my hand was a lot, you should have seen it. I got scratches all over my face. I'm bleeding because your head bleeds like crazy. So now I'm pissed. I take the cat. I throw the cat. Cat hits the damn candle. The candle rolls right over to the damn baseboard stack that I got there. And what do you know? I mean, it's all covered in fresh stains. So what do you imagine happens? It bursts into flames. So it bursts, so now I'm kind of like, okay, I spent all this time cutting these boards, staining these boards, and now they're on fire, meaning I got to do it all over again. So what do? I kick the damn boards all over the room.
Okay.
And of course, one of the boards goes under a drape. Drapes go shooting up with fire. And you know, I have a 13-year-old. He loves the sight of burning drapes. So he comes into the room. Sees the burning drape, says, "Thank you, Dad." I guess he thought it was a gift. He runs up and he hugs it, starts to scream. My wife downstairs cooking. She hears my son screaming. Of course, any mother who hears her kid screaming comes running. She comes running into the room. What are you doing? My son turns around. He's burning. And he says, Dad gave me this. My wife looks at me like with a look I've never seen before. Like it's murderous rage. She has a butcher knife. She's been cooking. She starts coming after me with the butcher knife. She thinks I attacked her darling son. I did nothing of the sort. She takes a swing at me. I tell her to back off and I look at the camera to make some eye contact because that's what your fans want.
Yep.
I pick up one of the baseboards and I kind of dodge her thrusts with a butcher knife. She's really good at cooking. She's not good at stabbing her husband. So I'm lucky.
But you are lucky. You really dodged a bullet.
Yeah. She takes a couple of swings at me. I block it with the board and then I have my chance. I do a whack. I catch her right in the back of the head. She goes down. My son, 13-year-old, starts screaming that I killed mommy. Of course. So for the first time for the first time all day, my 16-year-old gets off of the computer and I just hear him thundering up the stairs. He comes into the room. What's going on here? I said, your mother tried to kill me. And then my 13-year-old says, do you see what Dad gave me? And my son looks at me and he says, that's it. I'm done with this family. And he goes running. So at that point, I go chasing after my son. He just got his permit. He knows how a car works. Even though he's not authorized to drive alone, he grabs the car keys, gets into the car, tears out of the driveway. I got to go after him, but I need my phone. So I run back upstairs. The 13-year-old's kind of writhing on the floor. He's got some, I don't know if they're first or second degree burns. I don't have time. I grab my phone and I go bolting out the door. And then I start chasing after my son.
Whew. What was the reaction of your of that sexy video?
You're never going to top that.
You touched on a number of things that I actually would also would like to discuss with you really quick, if I can.
Sure.
First of all, your wife.
Yes.
You know, we know I'm certainly a big fan. You know, I would love to.
She showed me the text you sent her on her birthday.
Oh, cool.
It's a bunch of eggplants. You're cooking.
Yeah. It's my eggplant Parmesan.
Oh, she saw that and she just kind of got all excited because she loves cooking.
Yeah, it's cool. I would love to, maybe she and I, next time you need to run to the grocery store or something, let me know. I'm going to come over and I'd love to cook with your wife for, 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. Wash her eggplant. Like your emoji said. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks. It means the world to me that she showed that to you.
Yeah.
That's sort of the only way that it can excite me, really, is if you sort of know in the back of your head. Anyway, so I wanted to ask you about your wife's birthday. So I of course, sent her, a highly sexually charged text message, which all women love on their birthdays, especially, friends' wives or colleagues' wives in your case. But, what did you do for your wife's birthday? Tell me about it. It's a big deal having a wife birthday. How do you celebrate?
Well, she deserved a special day.
Sure.
I asked her, what do you want for your birthday? Because she is the extraordinary cook. She's a really good mom to the kids. I mean, she's much better at math. So she's constantly tutoring the kids in math and French. Her French is much better. So she's doing that.
Sure is. Her French is outstanding. Yeah.
Well, no, the language.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And so I thought, okay, you need, this needs to be your day. This is your, I said, what do you want for your birthday? She goes, honey, don't buy me anything. I don't need anything. I just want to be treated like a queen for a day.
Oh.
And I said, okay. So in the morning, I had the kids come in and they had made a paper crown.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And they came in and they put it on her head and they announced that she was queen. And she kind of chuckled and we asked her, what would she like for breakfast in bed? Because queens get breakfast in bed. And she said, I'd love some scrambled eggs with a little smoked salmon on the side and orange juice and coffee. And we said, yes, your highness.
That's so sweet.
Went downstairs And then we all put on basically like peasant garb.
Yep.
And I had like just a burlap sack for a shirt. And not even, I just got put filth. I went outside and I stepped in mud and got filth all over my feet. The kids did the same thing. They just, you know, they got mud and dirt all over themselves. And we went to the shed and we grabbed pitchforks and rakes. And then we come thundering up the stairs and burst into her bedroom. And we announced that there was a rebellion.
Oh,
we threw her in the closet and we said, this is the people's revolution. And so she kept begging to be let out of the closet. We said, no, you're the queen. You wanted to be the queen. You're the queen. You're the queen. We held a tribunal. We decided that she was an enemy of the new state and that as a royalty, no royalty was to be allowed.
Yeah.
So she was sentenced to death.
What?
And we burst into the closet and we grabbed her. And we dragged her down the stairs and she was screaming. We took her outside. We had created a mock guillotine.
Okay.
Out of, it was mostly cardboard and cereal boxes and discarded magazines.
Yeah.
But it was guillotine shaped and we kind of thrust her down on it. And I had the 13-year-old, he was wearing an executioner's hood and I didn't have a hatchet, but we had like a hacksaw. And then he stood and then I announced to her that the people had overthrown the government and that she had been sentenced to die and she was in tears and everything. And then she was laid down and my 13-year-old raised the hacksaw. And then we all started laughing and said, you know, happy birthday. And she looked at us and then, you know, she cried and we said, you know, now you know what it's like to be the queen for the day.
Wow. That's so special.
Yeah. She said she'll never forget it.
Man, that's so, well, happy birthday to your wife.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what? Like homemade, like, you know, a lot of people, you know, focus on the wrong things sort of during the quarantine and during this COVID crisis. I think that just proves that you can have an adventure at home with just things laying around the house. And have a family, you know, almost like a vacation at home.
Yeah. And the best thing is I didn't spend a penny on a gift because she didn't want that. She just wanted to be queen for a day and she got that experience.
Well, Brian, you know, good job to you and your boys.
Thank you, Jack. I'm trying to teach them how to be men.
Well, you're really doing a good job. And speaking of teaching, the other thing that, you know, you talked about your cat during that very sexy story you told. Mm-hmm. And I would love it if you could give me some advice. Cause I know that you have had a series of cats in your life. Some are no longer with us. But you're sort of the cat expert of anyone that I know. You're the cat expert. You've written a bunch of books on cats. You have a bunch of cat calendars that you publish every year. And I have exciting news that I'd like to share with you and our listeners. We are adopting a cat.
Are you really?
We really are. We pick her up in 1 week. And I was wondering if you could, so it's a kitten. She'll be 10 weeks old.
Okay.
And which is true. We're very excited. And my daughter is like, you know, she's no fan of yours, but she is over the moon excited about getting this kitty. So I was wondering if you could tell us some like cats do's and don'ts, you know, for, you know, maybe someone who's not a cat expert, but who's going to be welcoming one into their family.
Sure. So what happens to the dog? Are you going to put that down?
Oh, no, we're going to let him live with us.
A dog and a cat in the same house?
Yeah, is that not? I'm so glad. No, I didn't know. Okay, I'm writing stuff down. No, is that not okay?
Well, I mean, as you know, cats are Jewish and dogs are anti-Semitic.
I did not know that.
Well, that's one of many things you need to learn about cats. So okay. You're introducing a young Jewish cat to an anti-Semitic dog household. That's going to present some problems.
Okay.
So you might want to get rid of the dog. Or you know what? Let it go to Argentina.
send the dog to Argentina or what are the other choices? Because I don't particularly feel like buying we're not exactly flush with money right now. I don't particularly want to send my dog to Argentina. I'm concerned about this whole dog situation because we love our dog.
Right.
His name's Carson. Carson.
Yeah.
After a legendary talk show host, Carson Daly, obviously. And I wanted to see if there's any other way, like, are there any other places I could send the dog?
I mean, there's the Tallahassee dog bus.
Great. I don't know what that is.
It's a bus that, you know, it'll come to your house and take your dog and bring it to Tallahassee eventually.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but Tallahassee is pretty much where all the dogs go.
I did not know that.
Humans like to go to Fort Lauderdale or, you know, Miami or Sarasota or Naples, Palm Beach, whatever. But dogs prefer Tallahassee.
Really?
So they like to retire down there.
Gosh. And it's so funny because I've been to Tallahassee. I haven't seen that many dogs.
Yeah. Retire means something different in the dog world.
Oh, cool. I don't know. I don't know. Like dog lingo. What does that mean?
In the dog world, like retirement means to basically go somewhere and then there's a mine shaft. It's very deep. It can hold many, many dogs. And it does.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, if he's going to be happier there, maybe I'll do this.
I think you'd like it.
Okay, well, I mean, I want to be respectful of my Jewish cat. I mean, it's very important to me to not be an anti-Semitic house, to be open and welcoming.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's one of the first things you're going to learn about your new cat.
Okay, so what are some other do's and don'ts for owning a brand new kitty?
Well, I mean, you want to train them.
I was just going to ask about that. Great. Tell me what it is you need to teach a new kitty and how do you do it?
Last thing I wanted to do was clean a litter box.
Yep.
So you want to train the cat. And what you do is you just kind of show for the first 3 months, you have the cat live in the bathroom.
Okay.
And you just show her how you want her to use the toilet.
Okay.
And you do it like a cat. You get yourself a tail. You stick it on your back. And you jump up onto the toilet seat on all fours. Mm-hmm. And you kind of show her. And you do like a meow. And you kind of give her, you know, you show her. They learn eventually.
Okay.
So you jump up on the seat, all fours, and you show her. And you have the whole family do it. Because they need to know that they're part of the family and this is how it's done. Yeah, I know it's uncomfortable for a while, but you'll get used to it. And then, of course, eating. You got to train them to eat. They don't know how to eat.
Really?
Yeah. So get rid of your dining room table.
Oh.
You're going to have an empty room. Everything's served on the floor. When it's dinner time, you have little kitties. What are you going to name her, Brian?
I mean, that's one of the names you're floating, or Lily.
Okay. So you tell Brian, okay, you put a little plate down and Brian, this is where you eat. And she's going to come in there and start eating. And you do the same exact thing. You show her how to eat, face feed. No utensils. Everything you should be chopped up and circular and covered in some kind of savory gravy sauce.
Does it have to be kosher gravy sauce?
It should be for the cat.
That seems like a lot of work. And because basically I'm just feeding them, you know, like leftover scraps from the slaughterhouse, right? Covered in gravy.
Yep. And yourself.
Wait a minute. Wait, I thought I'm just eating my human food on the floor.
No, for the first few weeks, you want to eat cat food. You want to get them into the idea that you're all one family. It's all about bonding. Cats are bonders.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to do that. That kind of makes me sick.
You learn. You adopted a cat, and it's kind of a responsibility you've taken upon yourself.
Okay. I trust you. Okay, so that's the eating. What about, this is a delicate subject, but you know, you have to deal with this with kids. You have to do it with the cat as well. What about for mating? Because cats are going to want to mate, I assume, right?
Yeah.
How do you sort of broach that subject? How do you prepare for that?
Well, you get the kids out of the house.
Okay.
You bring the cat up into the bedroom. And you basically mount your wife from behind and have her wail, have her just go, like really, really wail. And I don't know if she normally does. She doesn't with me, but maybe with you, she's different. But yeah. You have her wail and just kind of like, and the other thing, if you can, have your wife go off and urinate in various parts of the house. Basically teach the cat about marking territory, letting them know what's theirs. And you kind of want them to do the whole house like that. And then the other thing is cats are silent stalkers. They need to learn how to be silent stalkers. You think it's innate, but it's not really. It's something that you need to train your cat to do.
Really?
Yeah. So what you're going to do is you're going to go outside with your cat and you're going to sit there and wait. And then at some point you'll see a mouse. And I want you to just go up to the mouse and you kind of pounce on it. And then, you know, the thing's scared and terrified. I just want you to bat it around with your hands.
Okay.
And just bat it back and forth and torment it and then let it think it can run away. And then just as it's about to get away, you just kind of grab it and pull it back.
Okay.
And then you just keep, you know, batting it around. And then at some point I want you to bite it in the back of the neck and give it kind of like a death blow. All right. Then okay. I want you to take that and I want you on all fours, I want you to run up to your front doorstep. And then just kind of, you know, chew it open and leave various pieces of it on your front doorstep and maybe like a lung or a liver, you know, in the kitchen on the floor.
Okay.
That's a gifting. You're teaching the cat stalking and then gifting the owners. That's you, the people in charge.
I guess that makes a lot of sense, especially if there's another quarantine. We're going to need the cat to provide.
Yeah.
Hi, honey.
Oh, good.
Yes, I know you're hungry. I know you're. I'll be down. What does he want for food?
Pot.
Pasta. Oh. She wants pasta.
Okay, well, I'm recording a podcast, so how am I supposed to put pasta in your belly?
Then you just go in downstairs and make it.
Okay.
Hi, horrid Brian.
Not talking to you.
Not talking to you.
You know, when you say words, it just sounds like just the bears growling.
Do you know when you say words, it's just like a bear growling?
What you're just saying what I just said. You're right. Stealing my material.
You just said what I just said. You're stealing my material.
Wait, you're plagiarizing me.
Wait, you're petrifying me.
Wait, are you doing the thing where you just repeat everything I say?
Wait, are you just doing the thing where you just repeat everything I say?
Oh, okay. That's one of the oldest tricks in the book, you know.
Okay, that's just one of the oldest tricks in the book, you know.
I know how to defeat this. How about, I'm a big dummy.
You're a big dummy.
That's not what I said.
That's not what I said.
I said, I'm an idiot.
I said, you're an idiot.
I don't know how to get dressed.
You said you're an idiot, and you said you're dumb. Awesome. You're an idiot. You're so dumb. You're the worst person in the world. You look like your grandma with your white hair.
It's silver, and the ladies love it.
Well, I don't. I'm a lady. All right, let's do the game where you repeat everything I say.
Let's do the game where you repeat everything I say.
I'm a mommy.
I'm a mommy.
You said you're a mommy. You said you're a mommy. Dipwit.
What?
You are a stupid, dumb person who has no point of being here.
I have no point of being here? Are you saying I have no raison d'être?
Yep.
Wow.
Stupid, dumb Brian. Bye-bye, dragonfly.
Hey, Brian, I've been gone for a few minutes. How'd that go?
She's a piece of shit. Hey, Jack.
Yes, Brian.
Guess what?
Cut the damn game playing and just tell me.
It's unfortunate that you're angry, Jack, because you're about to audition for movies.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're going to mess it up with your attitude.
No. My attitude is fixed. I'm so happy. So happy to be here. You're so cool. You're such a good
person. Jack, many listeners know, but many others don't because they're new listeners.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Brad, who is a film director and TV.
And this is true.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. And he's always looking for roles for you because I don't know why he's taking a liking to you. He really wants you to be in one of his films. But He's extremely strict about the auditioning process. He likes you to read scripts you've never seen before, and he wants you to stay in character at all times. Otherwise, he does not want to give you that role. That's the way he works.
So if I break character in reading this script for the first time, I will lose the opportunity to be in this major motion picture.
You cannot be any of in a film of his or a TV show of his if you screw up the audition process. He wants you in character fully through the audition. He's strict that way, but it's also why he's very successful. And I think he's off in Vancouver right now.
Well, you know, it's a lot of pressure, but that's what we go through here in what I like to call the industry. In terms of auditioning, there's a lot of pressure. So bring it on.
Okay. I just sent you the script.
Okay. I'm looking in my inbox.
It'll be there magically.
Ah, I got one.
You got it. Okay.
Yep. Okay. I'm ready to read this.
And you're opening this for the first time. It's very exciting for you.
It is.
This is your, as they say in the business, your cold read. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So this is Brad's movie. It's called Hegemon. All right.
Oh, cool.
It's about China. It's a drama, and it's about a very aggressive China.
Okay.
And in this film, the President Biden to deal with a very aggressive China. And Brad is looking to cast the chief of staff for President Biden, and he was thinking of you. You just have that personality. He thought you'd be right for it. And the role is Houston Jameson. That's the chief of staff for President Biden in the movie Hegemon.
Wow. That sounds like a really rich, great role.
I went through the script. It's a fantastic role. All right. Interior, Oval Office, day. President Joseph Biden sits at the Resolute desk looking at a stack of papers. His chief of staff, Houston Jameson, that'd be you, enters the room.
Mr. President, we just received confirmation from U.S. Indo-PACOM that China has just invaded Taiwan.
Who?
U.S. Indo-PACOM, sir. The United States Indo-Pacific Command.
Damn tootin' they are.
China launched a full-scale amphibious invasion of Taiwan, sir. We're assembling in the Situation Room in 5 minutes.
When you think about it, 5 minutes doesn't seem like a long time. One man's minute is another man's hour.
Yes, sir. We will have the Joint Chiefs, SecDef, and some folks from Langley to tell us what they know so far.
You bet your bippy.
Pardon, sir?
Oh, I'll pardon anyone I see fit. That's my prerogative, Bobby Brown. Old Joel knows who's naughty or nice. This noggin. You see this noggin?
I do, sir.
Hard to believe Hunter came out of it. Popped out. Just like that.
Sir?
But there aren't just babies in there. There's information in it. Ask me anything.
Well, I suppose we should discuss options on Taiwan.
Darn right. Lack of vitamin C is what caused scurvy. How'd you like to lose your teeth on a nice cruise?
Sir, I'm afraid I'm not entirely clear on that.
Think about it. You go on a cruise and your teeth fall out right in front of your sailor friends because you didn't have enough lemons. How's everyone doing? How's everybody doing tonight?
I want to redirect to what's happening in Taiwan.
Oh, yeah. They look like Chinese people, but they're not. They're not. You know how to tell the difference between a Chinaman and a Taiwanese?
How do you tell the difference, sir?
Ask them where they're from. What DEFCON are we at?
DEFCON 4, sir.
Here's the thing, Hugh.
Houston, sir.
Houston, we have a problem. You catch me?
Yes, sir. We're talking about the Taiwan problem.
That's the pepper. Mike Dukakis was a friend of mine. Some people called him Mike Dukaka, not old Joe.
Sir, I'd like to summon Vice President Harris as well.
You asking for my daughter's hand in marriage, young man?
I am not, sir, actually.
Boiling water kills germs. That one's on me. Free Knowledge Joe is what they called me. General Custer came up with it.
Sir, would you like me to escort you to the Situation Room?
I'd be honored, Margaret. I've had my eye on you ever since I stepped foot on Plymouth Rock.
Sir, I'll get your pants. Oh, so it's a hyper-realistic portrayal of Joe Biden.
It's based on a true story. But unfortunately, I don't think you did so great in the audition, and you know how Brad is.
I know he's a stickler for this, but can we just sort of edit out? Because I know I laughed at some parts. Can we just I really want that part.
I took a blood oath with Brad and swore to never fail on his auditions and to be totally honest. And obviously you're not up for this role. I'm sorry, Jack. I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you. It's sad. It makes me sad. No,
it is sad. It makes me sad. Can you just send me the next script, please?
I am going to send you the next script now.
Okay.
This is a movie Brad is producing called MAGA Movie the Movie.
Okay.
It's being produced by the Trump 2020 campaign.
Oh, weird.
They've launched into movie making. I think Jared Kushner is an executive producer.
Of course.
Because he does all these things. And
he's got a lot in common with my new cat.
That's right. And Brad was thinking you'd be right for the role of Officer Jacobs. It's a police officer.
Great. I love it.
All right. So it opens in the interior of a kitchen. It's a crime scene. Kitchen crime scene. Officers Jacobs and Bernard stand over a dead woman's body.
From the blood trail, it looks like she was attacked in the doorway and then crawled to the kitchen, where she died.
Bleeding to death in your own kitchen. Imagine the place where you make dinner becoming the place where your goose gets cooked.
Tragic. Multiple lacerations to the face, neck, and chest. Resistance wounds on her hands and forearms. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Mail-in ballots.
Exactly. Good to see we're on the same page. There's a pattern here.
And it's not a pretty pattern like you'd see on Ivanka Trump brand handkerchiefs.
It seems clear to me.
Yes. Someone has been using mail-in ballots to commit these heinous crimes.
They seem so innocuous, but at the end of the day, they're as lethal as...
shotguns and fentanyl and anything else that's lethal.
But who? Who would do such a thing?
I have a pretty good idea. Think about it.
Andrew Cuomo?
No, he only kills old people.
So the killer has to have access to a large supply of lethal mail-in ballots. Who would that be?
Think about it.
Of course!
Mailmen.
And women.
We need to get a message to the president. People need to avoid lethal mail-in ballots at all costs. And to be safe, all postal carriers need to be placed in detention facilities.
Copy that.
Get her done.
How'd I do?
Well, you know, you kind of broke character up there near the top.
I did. Damn. Do you have a third script?
I does. I just sended it.
Okay. Checking my inbox. Doggone it. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. Number three.
All right. Now, this is a futuristic one. It's set in the future when the U.S. Army has battle droids.
What?
To assist us in combat.
Okay, yeah,
it's
a cool.
Futuristic film that Brad's directing, and it's called Battle Droid.
Oh.
Yeah, and you'd be playing the role, if you get it, of Captain Johnson. He's a rugged army captain.
Is he like the lead role?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So this scene takes place in a battleground. It's exterior battleground day, and Captain Johnson and his men are pinned down under heavy gunfire. Battle Droid is next to him.
We're running low on ammo, boys. Hold your fire.
Captain, as a battle droid in the current predicament, my programming authorizes me to tell you about a special feature I have, which can help us survive.
Talk to me, Battle Droid 2000.
Allow me to drop my pants.
What?
Dropping pants now. There, Captain. Take a good look at it.
It looks like a penis.
That is correct. But looks can be deceiving. I am an android and do not need a penis for purposes of reproduction.
So why do you have one then?
Because it is not a penis, Captain.
What is it?
Take a look at the urethra. It's rifled.
Corporal, we're in the middle of a firefight. I don't want to be taking a look at anything, much less your android thing.
It's a .45 caliber automatic rifle, and I have 30,000 rounds of ammunition in my bladder.
Holy cow! That's just what we need to get us out of this pickle. Fire away!
I cannot fire away, Captain. I will require your assistance.
In what way?
Treat my android penis like a rifle. You'll have to aim and fire manually.
It's flaccid.
Not anymore.
Boing. Holy crap, that's amazing.
Yes, now aim it and fire at the enemy.
Can't you?
No, sir.
Man, this looks really weird to be doing.
Point toward the enemy and fire. I am fully automatic.
Where's the trigger?
Just squeeze the grip.
The grip?
As an android, I do not need to reproduce. Therefore, my testicles act as a grip.
Oh, geez. Man, this is awkward for me. But I'm doing it to save my platoon. Eat lead, enemy. Wait, is the safety on?
Yes, you must disengage the safety.
Where's that?
As an android, I have no need to reproduce. Therefore, my prostate...
No, no, no!
Be gentle.
That's messed up, man.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Gosh.
It's really visual, though.
Oh, my gosh. It's, I want to be in a movie. Do you think I got that one?
I definitely think you didn't get that one. A little too much character breaking. Not this week. Not going to happen.
You know, I try so hard. It would really help if I could see these ahead of time.
Yeah, that, I mean, you know, it has to be cold read. That's the art of his auditioning process. Cold reads. You don't see the scripts. You don't see what's coming, but you got to stay in character.
Darn it.
That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com for episodes, show notes, and bonus material.